And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Tom Fornelli and Robbie Callen join me as we kick off the Picks Cast. That's right, Picks Gang, Picks Cast. And you know what's coming first? It's the SEC slate, starting with that headliner, Alabama and LSU. A little personal reminder to tune in to SEC Live on CBSSports.com and the CBS mobile app. Nick Costos, myself, DJ Williams, we will get you set for pregame at 7:30, halftime and postgame for that Alabama-LSU game. Make sure you download the app to do that. Make sure you're subscribed to the SEC on CBS podcast so that you can get the episodes first and enjoy the Picks Cast. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, joined by Tom Fornelli and Robbie Calland, I am Chip Patterson. It's time to look at the SEC Week 10 against the spread. Gentlemen, we are going to start, of course, with Alabama and LSU. I don't know if you guys heard, but it's a football contest. It's taking place at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and you're going to be able to see it on CBS.
In prime time.
Well, CBS doesn't get a lot of primetime games, and it's Alabama-LSU, one of the best rivalries. Let's start at the pick. We will unhatch all the storylines as we proceed. 7.5 was the point spread the way that we picked this game. Robert, you're going to take this one first. At 7.5, we were just discussing before the podcast, there is an instinct to make one of, as we always like to say, principal play with that 7.5 hook, particularly with the home team. Where do you change over from feeling like a principal play to wanting to take Alabama?
I've picked against Alabama too many times this year.
Mm. Expert picker scores.
How many times have I come on this podcast and said I'm taking whoever in the points? And I've said the one thing we're fading is a defensive touchdown. And how many times have I come back on and been like, they got that defensive touchdown? All of them.
Yeah.
It's like 3 or 4 times this year.
I mean, it's 10 games in a row, so.
I'm tired of picking against Alabama. LSU has looked really good under Coach O. I do not think they can throw the football to the point that you have to compete with Alabama for 4 quarters. As good as the running game has looked, Alabama will shut you down if you're one-dimensional. I don't trust Danny Etling.
Mm-mm.
I'm concerned that if they do throw the football a lot, that we will see one of those pick sixes. I know Eddie Jackson's out. That's a big loss. We're still waiting to see how big. It's always hard to figure out with Alabama how big losing one guy on defense is, but that is a big guy in a key spot where they have been most vulnerable is over the top. That said, I don't trust Danny Etling to throw the football. I think they have to run the football too much. I think by the end of the game, Alabama will have pulled ahead by double digits and win this thing comfortably. I don't think Alabama's going to score a ton of points, but I just don't see LSU moving the football much. I know a night game in Death Valley. I know all of that. I just don't think that this offense is balanced enough. And how many times have we seen a one-dimensional offense do anything against Alabama? It rarely happens, if ever.
I am very ready. I am ready to lose this against the spread pick, or have it cash in a total BS manner.
Yep.
You know, would we say the Texas A&M game probably categorizes as that, you know, Alabama, because it has that relentless second half rushing attack and the ability to have found your weakness and then continue to nitpick at it over the course of 4 quarters. Do we call it a front door cover?
Saban will kick down that front door again. And like I said, this could be a 6-point game, and LSU has the football late, and Etling tosses, and Minka jumps one on the outside and houses it for the 13-point win and cover, and there are people in Baton Rouge throwing things, people in Vegas throwing things. It's one of those things where I would love to take LSU in the points. I think this is a close game. There are just too many. Alabama's burned me too many times, so I'm going away from my principle, and this is when they win by 3, just because I finally stopped going against them.
I mean, Alabama could win this game by – there's no way that this line will move. Is there any movement? by the way,
it's
on
been
this
7 and 7.5. It's yeah, been it's, like floating around between the two.
I mean, there's no way it gets to 6.5.
Less than 7, never been more than 6, 7.5. So it's not going to get down. It's not going to get down to 6.
Because a close game, like a very back and forth Alabama LSU instant classic Alabama win, could still be a 7-point win here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Tom, you got it. You took the candy. You're picking with the heart here.
Yeah, a little history lesson if we go all the way back to last week when all of the CBS experts but one were on Wisconsin to cover against Nebraska. But there was one man with the courage to take Nebraska in the points, and he was right. And now we're in another situation this week.
I took Nebraska in the points.
Well, whatever. There was some game last week where everybody picked the other way but me, and I was the one who was right. And this week...
Tom displaying all the debate skills of the 2016
it doesn't
election
matter.
Cycles.
I was very, very tired, okay? Tom did not get a lot of sleep.
Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs.
Don't congratulate me. I'm not
Tom
a Cubs
Frinelli,
fan.
Big Tom Frinelli, noted internetsman, noted Cubs fan.
Noted Cubs fan.
Yeah. Number one Cubs fan.
Oh, right. Hold on. Tom, you're about to take credit for UVA Louisville.
There we go. That was it. I was the only one with the courage.
You're all on the Cardinals.
Then it was like, what, 27.5 points?
It was a lot of damn points.
None of you had the guts to take the home team that was a 4-touchdown underdog. Anyways.
Congratulations. You just played double zeros on roulette and hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Enjoy
for
your
sure.
payout.
Sure. Virginia damn near won the game, but I hit double zeros. I got lucky. Anyway. I'm taking LSU because, honestly, since Ed Orgeron took over, they have been a much better team, as Robbie mentioned. But to take that point a bit further, since Orgeron has taken over, LSU is not only 3-0 against the spread, but they're demolishing the spread. They're covering it by an average of 14 points per game. So they're completely outplaying Vegas' expectations. And furthermore, in the last four games between these two teams that were played in Baton Rouge, the average deficit at the end has been 4 points, and two of the games went to overtime. So I know Alabama's really good. I don't really think LSU is better than Alabama. But in this game, in Death Valley at night, based on the history and just based on the way LSU's been playing under Orgeron, there's no reason not to take LSU and the points.
Yeah,
unless you've gone against Alabama a bunch like me, and now you're hurt.
I've gone against Alabama plenty of times, but you know what, Robbie? Hashtag trust the process, my friend.
Nope.
Yeah,
I'm going to trust Nick Saban's process from now on.
Yeah, I mean this. If this game goes to overtime again, it's because Nick Saban just likes to play thrillers.
I'm just going to say it, cowards.
How am I the coward?
Cowards. Did you take LSU or Alabama?
I took Alabama going against
coward.
Principal plays.
Coward.
Mm-mm.
It shall be on your tombstone one day, friend. It'll say, here lies a coward.
Well, that tombstone will also have the against the spread record of me, which is better than yours.
Boom! Now tied with Dodd, though.
Dodd came creeping.
12-5 last week.
Dennis was shot out of a cannon last week.
All right, so LSU for Mr. Frinelli. Everybody else at CBS taking Alabama here. I would love for this game to be close. I think that LSU is still an offensively challenged team. Like, let's not forget that game was 10-10 against Southern Miss at halftime. They have some "we got too excited about Coach O's shirt taken off" speech and kind of forgot how to play football for a couple series. That'll happen. And if you do that against Alabama, you're going to give up 2 touchdowns. So I think the margin for error is so thin for LSU to play its best game and win that I am going to go with the Tide against my principal play.
Coward.
All right, guys, the 3:30 spot for the SEC on CBS, normally the game of the week, but now the other also exciting game of the week, co-game of the week.
The opener game of the week.
Hey, guys, how about...
The undercard.
Actually, no, it's the middle card, because there's an early opener, too.
Yeah, we got Notre Dame-Navy.
that independent band nobody's heard of, and they just show up and they're there and they're like, what the hell, who is this? That's that game at 11:30.
Hey, don't say that. Tune in at 11 o'clock on CBS Sports app, on Roku, Apple TV, and on your mobile device for Chip Patterson, Brady Quinn, and Nick Kostos giving you an 11 a.m. Notre Dame Navy pregame.
Woo!
Woo!
Going to talk about the option.
We got pregame, halftime, and postgame for Notre Dame Navy, Florida, Arkansas, and Alabama LSU.
Who do you think Brady's going to pick in that Notre Dame Navy game?
I think he's going to pick Navy.
Yeah. That'd be great if he does.
I don't know. I had to put together all the Navy notes today. I'm not sure Navy's going to win that game. all right. We will discuss that one on the other Top 25 and Around the Country podcast. This game right here, Florida-Arkansas, the way that we picked it, Florida a 4.5-point favorite going on the road to Fayetteville. Tom, you've got the Hogs covering the spread. Are you splitting the baby, or are you going straight up Arkansas home dog upset?
I believe I took Arkansas straight up.
Nice. All right, so yeah, what do you like? They finally got some rest. The Pigs will be pigging with a little bit more energy than they were before. What do you think will happen on the field?
For me, it really just, you know, there's the principal play, you know, the home dog theory, but even though the spread's really not much to totally rely on there, it's just I look at Florida, and as we've discussed so many times already, it's just a one-dimensional team, and that dimension is fantastic. The defense is outstanding. It's just I cannot trust a team that I don't know if they can really score points against somebody that's not like Mizzou on the road as a favorite. I'm not willing to trust that team. So if I'm getting 4.5 points with Arkansas at home, I'm taking the points and screw it. Arkansas is just going to win.
Yeah, all right. Where are you at, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm the same. Look, Florida can't run the football. Can't do it. Cannot run the football. You know how you don't win on the road as a favorite? By not running the football. All right? In their, I'd say their games against the four toughest defenses they've played, so games not against Missouri, North Texas, and Kentucky, against UMass, 3.69 yards per carry. Against Tennessee, 3.42. Against Vandy, 2.63. And last week against Georgia in their big win, 2.08 yards per carry.
Hey, but don't
run the ball. Well, to be fair, it's hard to run the ball when you've been tailgating for 5 hours.
Fair.
I mean, it's hard.
Hey, don't run the football. So I'm not trusting a team that cannot run the football. Football.
Don't run with the football, Robbie. You'll make a mess.
A team that can't run the football to go on the road with Luke of the River and beat an Arkansas team that, here's the thing, Arkansas wants to get that taste out of their mouth. For 2 weeks, they've been tasting the 53-point loss.
I know.
They have that's all that they can, that's, they haven't had anything else. That's all Burt has been letting them know, is that they just got whooped. And yes, they got run all over, but guess what? Florida can't run. So it doesn't matter. So it's just, I don't trust them. Their defense is great.
I don't think Arkansas's defense is good enough. I don't think Arkansas
17-16 game.
Yeah, I don't think Arkansas's defense is good enough to
not that great.
No, I mean like
what though?
Brooks Ellis is the last remaining piece from that super salty defense of 2014 that like shut out three of the last four SEC opponents and finished the Texas game in a borderline erotic fashion, kneeling inside the 5 yard line. I think Florida wins this game because of its defense, and I don't think its offense has to do much. I think Austin Allen is a sitting target, and he's not going to be able to.
I'm concerned for him, actually.
Really concerned. I mean, this offensive line, like, they do nothing for him. And if Raleigh Williams can't get out and like be getting 4 yards per carry, which no one's been able to do against Florida this year, I mean, this is a funky line. I don't like it. I wouldn't recommend it to a friend who is looking to make some action. But I think Florida wins this game. I don't feel as confident about the 4.5, which was my pick, but I really think Florida wins this game. I'm nervous, though, because Burt's going to have something.
That's my thing. I just think bye week Burt is going to be dialed up, man. Yeah. They're going to score on some crap.
That's what I was about to say. The one thing we didn't bring up, Arkansas is coming in off a bye on this one too. So
finally, they finally get that bye that they
first one all year
needed, that they desperately needed. And I feel like we're going to get – there's going to be an offensive lineman in the end zone.
Yeah, I was going to say we'll get a swinging gate or something. Like, they'll be –
Well, he's been – you know Bird's been watching Pittsburgh film and is upset. Is upset that Pittsburgh has taken over the title of best offense to play in if you're an offensive lineman that wants to score. He can't let that stand.
It's not Blake.
He can't let Duz have it.
What's the name? It's something Neil, right?
O'Neal?
Brian O'Neal or Blake O'Neal?
Yeah. Well, no, Blake O'Neal was the Michigan punter. Brian O'Neal is the Pittsburgh offense. I was going to say Blake O'Neal's the Aussie that snapped in Michigan Stadium when Jalen Watts Jackson was like, "Can I have that?"
Yeah, Brian O'Neal's the one that's got two tutties.
Yeah, awesome. All right, cool. Well, that game is 3:30, and Brad Nessler, SEC on CBS, maybe debut. Has he called?
I think
on
it's
yet?
His debut. On
it's SEC his debut. On yeah,
very exciting. Vandy, the Doors going into Jordan-Hare, 24.5 point underdogs against Auburn. Auburn is just freaking rolling right now. The offense is humming, and that game against Ole Miss in Oxford, guys, I think was impressive for the way that Auburn won, getting caught in a dogfight and then being able to keep your foot down on the gas on the road at night, pulling away for a 40-29 win. Feel really good about the Auburn Tigers right now. Don't feel good about them covering 24 and a hook against a salty defense that's going to have great eye discipline. Eye discipline.
Talk about eye discipline right now.
Eye discipline is huge when you're playing the Auburn Tigers. You're looking at Cameron Petway, and you're missing a free-range Sean White just sprinting down the field. How are you going to let Sean White? What's his name?
The most important thing you could do is
tomato.
A defense.
The flying tomato. Yeah.
The most important thing you could do as a defense preparing for Auburn is to make sure you get your local eye exam.
Your eye discipline.
Yeah.
Eye discipline, boy. We're all at the Doors.
Yeah, I mean, do we think that Vanderbilt has any chance? Like, how close? Because everybody here is on Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. How close do we think this gets?
Not especially close, but I
21.
Think.
21.
Yeah, I was going to say 17-21. A little sleepy Auburn. They're feeling good. They're feeling themselves right now.
They are definitely feeling themselves.
They beat Ole Miss. Vandy comes limping in. This is the best defense that this new Auburn offense has played. Vanderbilt is a better defense than Ole Miss. They are certainly a better defense than Arkansas. Zach Cunningham's going to just be running around making tackles. It's what he lives to do.
I mean, the linebackers are going to have 55 recorded rushing attempts probably to be able to run around and make tackles.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
55 tackles up for grabs, y'all.
And look, it's just 24.5 is a lot. I think everybody's very excited about Auburn looking good and like, hey, the Iron Bowl could actually mean something in the SEC West again, and that'd be great. It should be a fun game. But again, like, this Auburn team still has not particularly played a great defense. Ole Miss cannot tackle anyone, has not tackled anyone in weeks.
So you're saying that when it comes to tackling, Ole Miss has the Ole Miss defense.
Ole Miss?
The Ole Miss.
Ah.
The Ole Miss tackles defense.
There it is. This is how puns get created, kids.
It's hard for Sharks to tackle because they don't have hands.
These little flippers. Look, Vandy, I think, is the best defense Auburn has played since LSU. And I think the offense has improved, but I still think – I don't think – my hot take is Auburn does not get over 31 points in this game, which makes it really tough to cover 24.5. I don't think Vandy scores much either.
Here's my hot take that's going to piss Robbie off.
What you got?
I took the over in the Hail Mary parlay of the week. This is part of it, and I'm going with the over 45.
You disgust me.
like You're just basically...
That's a personal attack on me to take advantage of.
I knew it. I'm sitting there.
That's a personal attack. I won't forget this.
I was breaking down games on Wednesday, preparing for pick six. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I hope Robbie doesn't find out about this.
This is a personal attack, and I won't stand for it.
Pro Football Focus did a spotlight on Auburn's offensive line this week, including the exposure of a young man named Robert Leff. Y'all check this guy out. I'm new. I just got knowledged up on Mr. Leff. 6'6", 299-pound senior, just working his way through the program. You know, first guy in the gym, last guy out. Running, he plays right tackle, and running over right tackle, Auburn ball carriers are averaging 7.1 yards per carry.
That's a beefy boy.
He is.
So he doesn't play left tackle.
Robert Leff. Hey, Robert Leff is all right with me. Enough of this.
This might be our worst podcast in terms of puns.
I'd say best.
Yeah. Texas A&M, number 4 in the rankings, number 1 in your heart, going on the road. Going on the road, 13.5-point favorites in Starkville. Mississippi State is firmly number 7 out of 7 in the SEC West power rankings. Where do they sit in the overall SEC power rankings, Robbie? Like 10? 11?
Yeah, they're 10 or 11. Let me pull that up. I kind of forgot that what I put them at. They're behind Kentucky. I know that.
Hell yeah.
Currently 11th ahead of Tennessee, Georgia, and Missouri, because the SEC East is a stronghold of power.
I think that Texas A&M, this might be a spot where they...
Sleepy?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Getting gassed up at number 4, feeling good about themselves?
Like, Texas A&M can do that. You know,
they sure can.
That's in their hardwiring. You know, we might be in a new era of the Kevin Sumlin tenure, but boy, they still got that feeling good about yourself not cover a double-digit spread in them. And I don't...
They might, but they also might not to a team that really struggled with Samford.
Hey, that was a great day for Nick Fitzgerald. Nick Fitzgerald did a good job of padding his stats. Listen, I think the local...
Because they had to keep him in for 4 quarters against Samford. Because the defense couldn't stop the Samford offense.
The local write-up compared Nick Fitzgerald's performance to Dak Prescott because of how he was getting it done with the offense.
Against those tough Bulldogs.
This is that was a look ahead game.
Not a good football team.
Look ahead game for Mississippi State. They're ready. No. They're charged up.
Has every out of conference game been a look ahead game then?
Yes.
UMass look ahead game. South Alabama.
South Alabama lost. Definitely look ahead.
Outright look ahead game.
I just had an epiphany.
Let's just admit this is a bad football team.
I just had an epiphany. I figured out why all fans think that national writers are biased against their team.
Because we hate all teams?
No, it's because they have local beat reporters writing about how Fitzgerald is like Dak Prescott for playing well against Samford. So they read all that, and they're like, we're amazing. And then they see us say, you're not amazing. You're actually bad.
We're the haters.
And then it's like, why are you hating on my team? We're not hating. We're just not comparing Fitzgerald to Dak Prescott for playing well against Samford.
Stanford?
Samford.
Stanford?
With an L.
Not even Sanford and Son. Just Samford.
All right.
A guy named Sam Ford.
So, all right, Tom, 13.5 is your pick in Texas A&M. Faith in the Aggies going on the road into sleepy Davis Wade Stadium, or... Is this just distrust of the Bulldogs?
No, I'm not super confident in this one for the same reason we've already mentioned. Just, you know, it's an 11 a.m. local start. It's Texas A&M on the road. You know, it's the last game that mattered. It lost to Alabama, and last week, you know, beat up on New Mexico State, but that's really just, you know, that's not going to do anything to really right the ship for
New
you.
Mexico State covered, though.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did. Fun belt?
I just think going on the road for the Aggies, I mean, maybe the fact that they're number four in the CFP kind of, you know, makes sure that they keep their heads in the game. So I do fear, though, that there's just a chance where it's going to be like overlooking the Bulldogs and Mississippi State ends up covering in just an ugly, sloppy game. But I can't not take A&M in this one just because, yeah, Mississippi State's not good.
Outside the top 25 in SEC action, the real game of the week. The real game of the week is Missouri traveling to Columbia. Mm-hmm. 7-point spread. Beamer, Benz, Jake Bentley. The South Carolina Gamecocks are flourishing right now. Mm-hmm. Robbie, what do we make of Missouri, South Carolina, and the Gamecocks? The South Carolina Gamecocks being a 7-point favorite, something I wasn't sure we were going to see in November at all.
7-point spread in conference, this South Carolina team.
This South Carolina team.
No. Can't do it. This is principal play. Time for Mizzou to show up. Also, it's just South Carolina's offense still isn't good. Like, they beat Tennessee. Bentley did his thing when he was presented with opportunities. Tennessee turned it over, I think, 3 times, and he turned 2 of those into scores. Look. This is not a good South Carolina team. Still, Tennessee appears to have maybe, I hate to use the word, but quit.
I don't want to accuse anyone of quitting, but they are not applying the effort that they were at the beginning of the season.
They're not applying the effort they need to, because guess what? I don't care how banged up you are, you don't lose to South Carolina this year.
No.
I'm sorry. So
You didn't mean to say they quit. You meant to say they transferred.
Yes. Well, some of them literally are leaving the program. Yeah. Look, South Carolina beat Tennessee, yes. They're going to be feeling good about themselves. Coach Boom still owns the Vols for whatever reason, has never lost to them. I don't quite understand that. But look, Mizzou's bad, man. Like, this is bad, but this is time. Like, if you can't get it together to be competitive with South Carolina, then I don't know what you're doing.
Barry.
7 points is too many.
Barry. Oh, no. Dumb.
It's time to get. Look, you just you lost homecoming to Middle Tennessee State.
Talk.
And then you got run over by Kentucky in a game that was not even as close as the 35-21 indicates. But I believe in you, Tigers. I believe you can go on the road and cover 7 points against this South Carolina team. It might be 13-7. But you can do it. You can do it at 4:00. You can do it.
I think South Carolina covers. No, I think this is Gamecocks.
Yeah,
Principal play. South Carolina is not a team that should be favored by 7 in the SEC. Even if Mizzou's barely, they barely SEC. They're supposed to be.
What do you think, Tom?
Did you know that in conference play, Missouri's allowing 36.3 points per game?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'm taking South Carolina minus the points, but more importantly, this game is my under of the week.
Yes, that's what
Take
I'm saying.
That under.
There we go.
Just lock up that under. Just lock up that under, baby.
Yeah, Robbie's
6 points.
Robbie just now forgave me for the Vanderbilt pick.
That's it. You're good. You're good. Yeah. You know, we're even now. Mizzou, yep. South Carolina, lock it up. Put the home loan on it.
56 is just way too much. I mean,
South Carolina can play defense.
Yeah, I bet in conference play, South Carolina's scoring under 15 points a game, and Missouri's barely scoring 17, and that includes like the 40 whatever it put up on whatchamacallit.
And so, that includes the Georgia game that got weird and wild.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no way in hell this game hits the over. Having said that, 45-42
final. Well, here's the thing. The way this goes over is we're at like 17-17 and go to overtime.
Yeah.
That's how this goes over. It's just the there's nothing worse than feeling comfortable under, like 20 points under, and then all of a sudden we go to overtime, 2 touchdowns. Now you're in double overtime, you're pretty much dead. That's the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
20-point cushion.
Especially when you've already been high-fiving it all the way through.
Yep. You feel you were like you locked it up when it turned to the fourth quarter. Like you put a little you put your little check mark by that one. You're doing the math in your head.
Yep.
Like, okay, this is coming into the account. No, sir. The overtime gods will steal it from you. But no, yeah, lock this up.
Tom Fornelli. Well, yeah. Tom, you are a noted Big Blue Nation homer. Kentucky. Kentucky is one win away from being bowl eligible for the first time since 2010. Kentucky is one win away from having one conference win away from having five SEC wins, something that the Wildcats haven't done in a season since 1977. Kentucky, plus two, at home. The lights are on in Lexington. Do you think they get it done against Georgia?
Light it up! BBN's going bowling, baby. Woo!
Keep that SEC East title hope alive, too.
Dude.
This scenario is there. If Florida goes down to Arkansas this week and Kentucky beats Georgia, boy, we're talking about a scenario.
We're talking about a lot of fun.
It's real, and I cannot wait. I will be in the building.
I'm here for it.
SEC championship game, and I sure as heck don't want to see Alabama run all over Florida again. I sure as heck want to see them play Kentucky in the title game.
Oh, hell yeah.
Catlanta will be alive again like it's a Final Four.
You know Drake will be in the house.
Oh, for sure.
His beloved cats.
Hell yeah. He'll be hanging out with Cal Perry in a suite.
Well, the Kentucky's normally got a big non-conference game on that same weekend. Like, I feel like I've watched Kentucky-North Carolina games on conference championship Saturday. Like,
no, let's, more, because they're contenders. They can't do that with their schedule.
They're going to have to move it, you know?
You know, it's contender time. By the way, can I just point something out about Georgia?
Absolutely.
Is it bad?
It ain't good. Their last two football games against Vanderbilt and Florida, admittedly two of the best defenses in the SEC. In those two games combined, Georgia has run for 96 yards.
God.
That Georgia rushing attack led by Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, with just absolute boys in the backfield, has not combined for 100 yards in the last two games. Where are we with Georgia football right now? I mean, it's not good. And that's the thing is like, but here's the thing. You should be able to run the ball in Kentucky. Even Florida ran the ball in Kentucky. Although this team has gotten a little better. But you can run on Kentucky. You can score a little bit on Kentucky. But the Cats offense is pretty good, and they can run the football. And they got some sneaky little designs to get Boom the ball in space. This Georgia team is just
there are hard questions being asked right now, and it's
the offensive line's bad. The offensive line is in real bad shape. They never came around. I thought, I don't know if it's going to take some time. Sam Pittman get his guys in, and maybe this has just been an issue, and they just don't have boys right now. But like Georgia. I coach offensive line in the state of Georgia. You should not have a problem recruiting a good offensive line in this state. Ever.
I think they are going to...
Should never be a down year for the offensive line for the Georgia Bulldogs if you're the number one team recruiting in the state of Georgia.
Because boosters are boosters, I think someone's new is going to get added to the equation. Whether that means someone loses their job or whether that means that, you know, responsibilities get reassigned, I feel like Kirby Smart's got to throw something to make it seem like a change is being made because depending on what happens down the rest of the stretch of the season, like what if Georgia comes out and
blast Kentucky,
then, you know, maybe that changes. But certainly, like you mentioned, the current trajectory to have backs that have been productive in front of the eyes of Georgia fans, the way that Nick Chubb and Sony Michel have, to have them be so ineffective right now, not good.
Not great. Yeah, Cats, though. I'm around the Cats bandwagon, mainly because I just want to see chaos play out.
So
you
excited.
Chaos.
Go chaos. All right, guys, do you mind sticking around? We're going to do the top 25 and the best of the rest outside of the SEC, breaking it down against the spread. That cool with you?
Let's do it.
I guess.
Listeners, make sure that you subscribe to the SEC on CBS podcast. That's the way that you get them first, and that's the way that you get the next Week 10 Expert Picks. Thanks, guys.
You.